My name is Gershwin Manuel. But as we were just worshiping for those moments, you know, it's often difficult to come into an auditorium where you find yourself in this presence. You find yourself in the presence that it's been created for you. And it's difficult to let yourself go. I realize that. It's difficult to let yourself go. But whilst we were sitting there or are standing there, I just realized, Lord, He is truly majestic. And tonight I'm going to share a little bit of what God means to me. So I'm not just going to say words that comes to mind. I just want to remind you that the Lord is my Savior. If you agree with me, you may say, Amen. The Lord is my Deliverer. Amen, 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 amen. The Lord is my heritage. Amen. The Lord is my God. There's only a few on this side. So now I know who I'm preaching to tonight. What does the Lord mean to you? The Lord is more than just, for me, a service, a formality. Really, guys? It's really just for me a formality. And whilst I'm just logging in, give me one moment. My name is Gershwin Manuel, as I shared earlier. I've got a lovely wife, so don't worry. She's at the back there, and she's holding a baby. Praise the Lord, the God of miracles. I'm so blessed. So I have to give a little bit of honor to my lovely wife, because as we were on our way here, I realized in life, God has given me a lovely helper. If you look at her, you'll see she is lovely. And I can guarantee you, to you, if you look at me, you can see she is a lovely helper. She is really a lovely helper. I don't want to divulge, but I think I was 65 when I got married to her. That's now 20 years, so don't judge, please. Don't judge. Now 20 years married, and I believe I'm about 89 or 90 kilograms. So I thank you. That's a lovely helper. That's a lovely helper. She knows how to meet my needs. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else here that wants a helper? I think what I've realized in life is that I sought her and I got her actually in a place like this. And 20 years married now is not, for me, it's really lovely. And if you want to desire or get that and this, we still look good for our age. I'm not arrogant. We still look good for our age. And we are still together. I can look and I can think of her and I say, yes, Lord, thank you very much. I'm not lying. When I think of her, I thank the Lord for the stuff that happens. I am alive. So I want to thank the membership here for allowing me to be part of this house. I was part of this house. We are part of this house now for like, I think about 8 years. 9 years. So if you haven't seen me, it's because we've moved to Paul in March, earlier this year. And we find ourselves in this place quite strange, you know. When I look back 8 years, you've celebrated 10 years, am I right? Recently, you've celebrated 10 years. This congregation has celebrated 10 years. When I look back and see where we were and where we are, I must say glory to the Lord. Just look around, please. Look to your neighbor. Look to your neighbor. See who's around this place. What do you see? What do you see? Besides, it's your lovely wife in that. Well, she's beautiful in that. But what do you see? Fellow believers, let me share this one thing. So the reason why I'm saying this, when I walked into Shofar Malmesbury, when I walked into Shofar Malmesbury, myself and my lovely wife there, it was right here down by the wall. Here by the wall. And we walked in and we heard the vibe and the sound was going. Okay, by the way, his wife invited us, eh? Yaki's wife invited us. And so we walked into this vibey place and we felt at home. But as we walked in 10 years ago in South Africa, what did we see? White people. We just saw white people. I'm honest. when I mix the Afrikaans, I will give the English. So I just saw white people and I say, Here. Oh, I said, Lord, have mercy. But the vibe was going. The music was playing. Holy Spirit was there. 10 years after, yeah, look at yourself. Look at yourself here. It is 50% representative, or even more, of the demographic of Malmesbury, even more so of South Africa. So give yourselves a hand, man. Gee whiz. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so good for Malmesbury. Hallelujah. The answer. So what came to mind when I passed the phone, I thought, what is happening at the world at the moment? And just look at yourself. I hope you already find the hope. Because at the moment, earlier this year, we had a big fire. You remember that? Right now, two weeks ago, we have had. You can see the fires happening. You can play it, sister. You can play it. Just watch there for one moment. This is since the year 2000 till the year August 2017. Just watch what's happening in the world. The fire is going all around, and there's always a fire happening. Since 10 years, 20 years ago, when this data, this is factual data from NASA, please, not Gershwin's great, wonderful work. But when it stops, you'll see there's always fire. So fire has been there. And I said, Lord, what is happening in this world? What do we also find in a present time? We've got hurricanes. Are you living in this world or just in South Africa? We've got hurricanes. At the moment, there's three hurricanes that's happening. Three hurricanes happening. And if we are so selfish, because we are in South Africa, the life is about South Africa. It's about the South African government, nothing else. We are the people. Yes. There's three cyclones at the moment happening. Hurricane Maria, Tropical Cyclone Jose, and Tropical Storm Lee, after each other. Coming home, what is happening right here in the Western Cape? Drought. How many of you wash once a week? Praise the Lord for saving the water, sister. She's honest. I'm also honest. I shower at least twice a week, and I use the basin because I'm still clean. So there's drought in this world, very world. Everything surrounds us, says and screams out one thing. And all these things happening around us made me think, Lord, where do we find ourselves as Christians? Is it the last days? And when I look around, the signs of the times according to the Bible, it says, there will be famines, there will be drought and perilous things. If you look at your bank account, is there a drought? No, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Speak it, brother. Speak it. Deep are as you connected rock with the Holy Spirit. Not with that, brother. You must get connected with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, brother. I receive it as well. We receive that because even in this drought-stricken situation, going out of Malmesbury towards Friedenberg or going out of Malmesbury towards Paul, if you look at the grasslands, what do you see? Is it green? It's actually so green and beautiful. You realize this? It's drought. It's so strange. How can it be drought in the Western Cape, but it's still so green? So the perspective is that God still, He's still providing. He keeps providing. They might be saying there's drought. Yeah, there is drought. There's people that's trucking in loads of agricultural helps feed for the farmers in the, what's it, Northern Cape area? Yes, Namakwaland. There's drought. It's happening, but praise the Lord. Going out, looking around, it's green. My onkruit, my weeds are so high. The weeds in your house, I'm glad for the Lord for the weeds. So what I'm saying, even though there's droughts, there's fires, there's famines, there's droughts, God is still supplying. Look at the little bit of green and see that God has been sending rain. So I don't want to get technical about it, but God has provided enough for us. So I don't want to take it that route, but God has provided enough for us. It will be harmful for us if we don't use what He's given us correctly. And I fear maybe, that is just myself speaking out, fear maybe that is what is happening. And as a result of that and the choices that we make, things have been happening in the last few years. So it has been coming the last few years already, ladies and gentlemen, that a drought in the Western Cape has been, and we didn't care. Last year, the year before, what happened with our other natural resource? Switch off the power, switch off the power, then I can't speak, you can't hear me. Eskom is Exdom. We had comments like that, planning that is not correct. So they affect us. We are in the situation to make a difference, but we have to open our eyes. So this afternoon, I am blessed to be here, and I'd like to pray with you and ask the Lord for guidance. Let's pray together. Father, this evening we are thankful for this awesome gathering. As we read and prayed earlier, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there you are to bless. And so, Lord, we come and we submit ourselves, every one of us, we submit ourselves to you, Lord. And we trust in your guidance and Holy Spirit leading, so that those that need to hear will hear, and those that need to act will act, and those that need to be quiet will be quiet and wait upon you, Father. And we thank you for your leading. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. That is the sermon. The grass is green. Even though it's drought. How many don't believe with what I'm saying? It's how you define the drought. But okay, I thought I'll be funky about this. So you see there's a T-S-G, H, and a E. I'm not going to ask you what you think it stands for. I will give it to you. Slowly, pay attention. The T is scripture. G gives. H and E. What? And E. Who said hope? What? Lovely. Give yourselves a hand. The scripture gives hope and encouragement. Have you got it? T-S-G, H-N-E. Who of you go and buy there by H-N-M? You don't go buy clothes there. Okay. T-S-G, H-N-E, not H-N-M. H-N-M is in Cape Town. Don't worry about them. T-S-G, H-N-E. The scripture gives hope and encouragement. And that's basically what the Lord just shared with me. It might look so down and out outside in your life, in my life, but when we find focus in life, focus being scripture, okay? The scripture that will enlighten you and challenge you this evening, as it's challenging me when I started preparing, and obviously my name there, don't forget it. Don't worry about that. That's how you spell it, eh? Hashtag. Let's leave that all. So, you're not technical. I can hear you're not technologically advanced. Sorry. Scratch that from the recording. So, what happened? The scripture has been encouraging me. I've been a Christian for today, because I can't speak about yesterday. I've been a Christian for today. When I said I'm a Christian, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross for me. And through that, He made atonement for me. And after He died on the cross, He actually did the wonderful work. He stood up. Miraculous work. It really happened. It's not folk stories. And then when He left the earth, He raised and is now sitting with God, the Father, the right hand of God. That's what I believe in as a Christian. I am not a Christian in South Africa that says I go to church every Sunday. I'm a Christian that says, irrespective of what my color is and your color is, we all have the same blood. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow! So today, I was crying. Anybody knows about that? What's happening today? No man. Somebody siko wat dag is dit vandag? Heritage Day. Ja. Who of you bride? They not celebrating heritage, ne? They not celebrating heritage. Okay, so let me just speak to you about that. Both of us celebrated that. If we celebrated Braai, it was synonymous. It is still synonymous with the heritage. But the heritage started with the Zulu people. So they said, listen, we're part of this country. It's part of Africa. We can't ignore it. It's a day that we have to celebrate. We've got to celebrate the diversity in South Africa. Yes, we are the Zulus. We are the coloreds. You are the whites. And what does the whites and the coloreds like doing? Praying. The old story is about fellowship. It's respecting the diversity and thinking back of the heritage where we come from. For me, the heritage as a colored South African stems from, in recent times, in 1994. I'm sorry. That's part of it. That's the new heritage that stems, and that's where the heritage they come from. Okay, so a lot of you bride, you prepared. I also bride. I didn't think, I thought I was going to minister. I don't want to stand in front of a bride. But then the bride happened so slowly. And of course, you must eat at some point in time. So I stepped in. And I asked, lovely, where's this thing? Because you can't bride without this thing. Cool drink. Cool drink, please. Whatever you think you have, it was cool drink. So I became so full of myself, I thought I'm not going to get involved with this fallacy. It's Heritage Day. It's not of the Lord. It's not holy enough. It's on a Sunday. But then I bride. So in fact, I enjoyed Heritage today because I was with my family. And with my family, we had the little ones, we had visitors, we invited others. So often as somebody said, Sizinyama, what do you see at these places when they get together? A lot of fellowship, a little bit of music. A little bit of music, a lot of food. Okay, and we celebrate each other being together. Heritage Day in South Africa. Heritage Day as a Christian. What do we celebrate? Remember, we've all come to church, so I believe you are Christians. Christians. So we've come to church, we are Christians in Africa, but the real heritage is not about, for me, again, I'm sharing what I believe based on the scripture, and that's why I thought the scripture gives hope and encouragement, even on Heritage Day. So I said, TSGHE, the scripture gives hope and encouragement. Okay, some of us don't celebrate Heritage Day. We just have a normal Sunday. And that's also good. Because Sunday for us, according to the Word of God, is the rest day. Even though it was Saturday. But okay, let's leave that days. We are resting. And we are honoring the Lord. And God knows and meets you right at that point in time when you find yourself, listen, I might not have a chicken to braai. I might not have a steak to braai. But I celebrated eating my pap and wors. I celebrated eating my toast bread, whatever it is. And I enjoyed this heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I've been thinking about this heritage. And so it comes from Jesus. And Jesus, when he was with the disciples, he did a lot of miracles. Who all remember the miracles that he did? One of the miracles that you remember, I remember the miracle of the person, the blind person being healed, totally being seen. I remember that miracle. I also remember the miracle of somebody else. Do you remember miracle? Do you know that Jesus did miracles? It's a reality. It's not a fallacy. So another miracle that he did, what was it? The daughter. And the water, hey, hallelujah. Water into wine. And that other one that couldn't stand up and walk around, healed the lame man. Isn't it so? What was that other lady's, other gentleman, Jairus' daughter? Oh, and there was Lazarus as well. Praise the Lord. Do you remember any more miracles that the Lord Jesus did? What did he do? The lady with the blood flowing. Hallelujah. Any miracles that you remember? Do you know? We all eat food. Hallelujah. The fishes. Remember that story? The bread and the fishes. And in multiplication. And he did it twice. Okay, so you remember that. Don't forget that one at least. Eh? Every time, so you take that piece of bread and you eat. God multiplied. Jesus multiplied what you're eating. So the food is multiplied. So after he spent a lot of time, he's built up this ministry and people are following him. They're following him. He says, Lord, they're following me. They're going to squash me. It's too much. And so what he started doing with the disciples, because they now started following him, they wanted to follow and do the things that he did. So he was teaching them. And as he was teaching them, he started using a word that is foreign to me. I don't know the Afrikaans word, but you can help me. It's named parables. You know, parables? Parables. You know what that is? A parable. I'm just taking water, excuse me. Used a lot of parables. Now, this is the first time I'm going to the book of Mark just now. But the first time that Jesus did something different. He taught them, he led them, and then he started teaching them using parables. In fact, Jesus used parables in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four Bibles in the New Testament. So he started using Gospels in the Gospels he used parables. They say close to 60 times, but I found a resource that told me 39 times. In the book of Mark, he used the parables 9 times. Okay? So it's significant in the growth and development of the disciples. So what does a parable mean? A parable means to cast alongside of. Something that goes alongside of. Someone has also defined the parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus used normal things, water that we drink. He used stories about the farmers to explain a heavenly meaning. So just keep go with me and keep with me because we're going back to the heritage of being a Christian. In Mark 4 verse 11 and 12 it says, to reveal the truth to those who were open and to conceal the truth to those with closed minds. So very important, if you were open to the parable, the purpose was to reveal the truth to that person that had an open mind. If you had a closed mind, you won't get it. Isn't it funny? Sometimes with a joke, somebody shares a joke with you and you just don't get it. Often with me. Everybody laughs and I said, what are they laughing about? Please share. Now, my mind was too closed for the joke, but something like that. So, to reveal the truth to those who have open mind and to conceal the truth from those who have closed minds. And the parable, when it's taught, that truth, the real truth, it becomes clear. So if it looked murky, you couldn't see and understand the situation, it looks clear. Now, I'm going to the Gospel of Mark. For those that have their Bibles, praise the Lord. Have you got your Bible? No, if they don't have, amen for those that do have. Hallelujah. What do they say? Does it stand for? B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. So if you are a Christian, you say you're a Christian, you got to have this thing in you. Isn't it so? You say. Isn't it so? We've got to live this thing out. We've got to have it in us. It's not just a thing, it's words. It becomes alive. Dunamis power. Rhema, word. Bringing light and life. the Bible says in Psalms 119, the opening of God's word brings life and light. So if you call yourself a Christian, check yourself out. I'm checking myself out. Praise the Lord. I use it. But if I don't use it, you will hear it. You will definitely hear it in my way that I walk and talk. Okay, so the book of Mark, you'll find it in somewhere in the middle of the Bible, after Matthew. And Mark was written by John Mark. John Mark was one of those people that walked with Peter. It's believed that Peter, this book, was influenced by Peter. It is a second gospel, and the gospel speaks about synoptic gospels. I just want to sound very quiet. Synoptic gospels. Synoptic meaning the same, they carry the same value. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John speaks about something else. So Mark is a synoptic gospel, and it here reflects and presents Jesus as a servant, ever active and instantly responsive to the will of the Father. Now, I don't know why I when I saw this in preparation, I said, yo. It's very close to my heart, because as a person, you've heard I was in Malmesbury. I'm right now in Paul as a family, but I actually work in Friedenberg. You know? So if you look at geography, it doesn't make sense. But as a family, we've learned through all this, doesn't make sense that it's nice to be a servant that is ever active and instantly responsive to the will of the Father. So personal it became to me, this portion. As a family, I'll just share something else. As a family, we started reading Mark. And we started Mark 1, we're now at Mark 14. So this book of Mark has actually been challenging us. It's not John, it's Mark, you know. It's not Luke, it's Mark, you know. Luke was a doctor. It's Mark. But it's been challenging us as a family, bringing us so closely together and teaching us. And that's why I thought I'll share. Because how can Mark, I'm 20 years a Christian, 30 years a Christian. How can Mark still have so much impact in my life? And it's only when we started making time, reading the Word of God together, starting very monotonous. Guys, we're going to get together and we're reading the Word of God. And then it started opening up. It started with that first act. So the Gospel of Mark speaks of ultimate service to Christ Jesus. And it's possibly the earliest gospels, and is believed to be based on the teachings of Peter. Now, where Mark was written by John Mark, the scriptural connotations you can find in Acts 12, verses 12 and 25. You can check there. John, whose surname is Mark. So that's the person that's writing this book. So, just as a background, we'll read from Mark chapter 14, verse 1. And again, he began to teach by the sea. If you have your Bible, Mark 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went to this to sow, and it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth on earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has an ear, let him hear. So what are we saying here? I'm not saying anything. The Bible says that this passage is about a sower. If you go into your garden like I did, past the house here in Malmesbury, I thought, what happening in the house? There's so much weeds. But if you go out of Malmesbury towards Paul, you see a lot of grasslands. Is it grasslands? What do they, the farmers farm with? You go towards Cape Town, you see some livestock here, but you also see something being planted there. If you go towards the N7, you get to Citrusdal, what do you see on that side? Farming with different sort of produce. So farming is a normal thing for us around Malmesbury, the Swartland region. And the Bible speaks of three things, four types of soils here. But I want to share a little bit of truth, if Holy Spirit allows, about this parable. It's a parable of a sower, and it speaks of a sower, somebody that sows. And somebody that sows could be somebody that is singing. Praise the Lord for the boy band. Hallelujah. It's somebody that's singing the gospel. It could be somebody that's ministering like I'm standing here today. It could be somebody right in the street, on the street, sharing the gospel with you. Just by loving you, by sharing a piece of food. So it's the sharing of the word of God. Then there's the seed. The seed is the gospel of grace in this parable. It speaks about the gospel of grace. And I think I shared with you what the gospel is earlier when I said I'm a Christian. The gospel of grace. And they speak about the soil. So there's triple S. Who knows the Dutch and triple S? If you know it, praise the Lord. We're still around. So it's a sower, a seed, and a soil. You can remember this. That's a lot of acronyms now. Sower, seed, and soil. So what happens there, that the emphasis on this portion is primarily about the soil. The last S. Speaks about the last S. So this last S soil, I thought, what is this what about? And I just want to share with you the different types of mindsets surrounding this parable that we may have, that some of us has, and then that some of us that we know will further have. So I want to speak about the mindsets that we have in regards to the soil. The soil speaks about the heart and the preparation. So let's go to the first one. The closed mind. The Bible says there that some of the seed fell in on the wayside. Do you know what the wayside is? Have you actually walked the paths? As students, I believe you walk a lot. And if you walk from one place to another place over a piece of field, what happens to that field? If you walk that path the whole time, it goes hard. Okay? It goes hard, and then everybody follows and everybody starts walking. Now, if it's a piece of field that is biodiversity value, we don't want you to walk there, but you still walk there. So we walk there, it becomes hard. What happens to that soil? It's hardened, so the seed falls and it cannot germinate, it cannot grow. That is the type of soil that the Bible speaks of there, the first part. That pathway has been hardened. Now, some of our lives, some of our ways we think is like that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of God, the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked comes and he snatches it away. So, likening it to our mindset, we hear the word of God, the seed falls, it falls on the hard ground, we don't understand it. We don't understand this seed. And what happens with that seed? It can't grow. Okay? First thing. So, it doesn't hold of any value. You hear the story, you know about the seed. Somebody's invited you, come to church. There's seed happening. You don't know what's happening, but you come to church and yes, you react, but you don't understand because everybody's doing it. I'm going to do it. And then it doesn't grow. You find that there's no growth at all. It falls down, it lies down, and it can't penetrate the soil because the soil is hardened, a hardened heart. Okay? So whatever the need, they are hard-hearted, and the seed cannot penetrate the soil of their mind. They hear the gospel and dismiss it as foolishness. Isn't there so many of us that was like that, and friends of ours and family that's still like that? We hear the gospel day in or Sunday in every day, or we turn on the radio, and we say, ah, they're not real. They are living in a world that's not out there. That's the type of soil that we find ourselves there. Then there's another C. So I'm into the acronyms thing, eh? The first one we spoke about. And the second one is a confused mind. The Bible speaks about stony places, the stony soil. So there's soil that looks good, but there's stones in between. So when there's stones, like we find ourselves, I spent a lot of time on the West Coast previously. So what I did, we had to plant vegetation for rehabilitation. So when we want to try and plant vegetation, we've got a lot of these limestone rock. Limestone is this white type of rock. Malmesbury, you don't have, I don't think you have a lot. You've got this red soil, lovely red soil. But for you to be able to plant there, you've got to remove all those rocks. And you can't find, there's some topsoil, but there's a thin layer of topsoil. It doesn't have the nutrients for it to allow the soil and the seed to grow. So this is likened to somebody, like I said earlier, that has got an emotional response. Yay, we're worshiping, the boy band are singing, the gospel is going out. And there's an emotional move, and people are moving, and they're coming to the Lord, and they move. But then afterwards, after the emotion subsides, a week goes on, 2 weeks goes on, and there's nothing further. That feeling that I got is no longer there. So I'm speaking to all of us here, but that feeling that I got is no longer there. You're a little bit confused. So this person, you received the gospel as with gladness. Your heart was anxiously waiting. And somebody said, listen, I like the free coffee. I like the free coffee. Come for a free coffee, sister. If you don't want it, you can give it to me. But when you receive that free coffee, it looks nice, eh? I'll come back again. I'll come back again. But then you've got to pay, bro. So you will come back again and you will pray, but whilst you're walking with, there's still no connection with you. It's an emotional response. There's no depth because there's too little topsoil. It can't germinate. So I'm not going to say that you were not, or I was not saved, because that's how actually I came to the Lord. I was a little bit confused. I said, yes, like it, my parents are forcing me to church every morning, evening, when there's a crusade. I had to be at the crusade. So this thing must be right. But I never had a connection at first with the Lord. I just walked with the crew. I walked with it, yes, and now I want to become a Sunday school teacher, yes, I'm in the ministry, and then no, I want to be in the worship team, yes, I want to sing in the worship team, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I've got a voice, and yes, then I want to do missions. But all of this, eventually, I found myself, why am I doing all of this? What is the purpose of it? A little bit confused. I was, praise the Lord for His grace that is sufficient. So I can't say that it wasn't real, because I find myself here today. So God works in mysterious ways. And then the third C that I want to speak about, the way and the mindset that we have, is a cluttered mind. This soil looks ready to be sown into. But underneath the surface, do you plant? Do you like planting vegetation in that? Vegetable gardens is a good thing nowadays. Have you seen it around? The vegetable gardens. Some mamas actually till and they clean, prepare. There's one, there's quite a few happening around in this vicinity of the Malmesbury area. So if you till the ground, okay, I must say I don't have so much money. So when we started with our first house, that we bought. We did everything ourselves. We had to go buy. So we found nice big property. Soil looked nice. But we wanted to put garden, grass. So we bought kukuyu and we put the kukuyu down. And the kukuyu is a type of grass that they didn't want to take. So I thought, no man, we wasted the money. Okay. But I still wanted it to look nice. It's our first, second house. It was our second house. And we wanted to plant this nice green grass so that we can play. Like you guys, we want to still have children and they can play in the grass. And so next time somebody told me, no, it's a type of grass. No, it is a type of grass that you bought. You should buy. What is the other one, guys? Buffalo. You should buy buffalo. I said, buffalo is not nice. It's too hard. See, leko om te sit, van ons om nou 'n bietjie haas sit. Sorry, we want to sit down and have a nice picnic. We want to sit down and have a nice picnic, and it stinks, man, and it's not nice. But in any case, so we bought the buffalo. Buffalo was more expensive than kukuyu. Do you know that? So it's much more expensive. So I thought, listen, let us do the job right. Let us look at the soil as well. So as I start, we started with a small patch as big as this pallet. So we started digging, and what did we find? Rocks and stones underneath there. Lovely, nice humus, but too much stones. So it couldn't grow. And I said, I'm not going to spend so much of money and then have this not grow. So I had to spend some time on my knees, praise the Lord. And so we took it out. So this is the type of situation here. The person who tries to have the benefit of the gospel while still clinging onto the old life of sin. I want this nice green grass. It looks nice. I want the benefit of the green grass. I want the lovely soil to sustain it. But I'm still holding on to the thorns, stones underneath there, rocks and thorns. And that's keeping me back. It's still holding on. If it's still holding on, the wortelkies won't be able to penetrate the soil. And I won't have nice green leafage there. Am I speaking to someone? Is the word of God speaking to someone? So that person is a person who tries to have the benefit. But the gospel is still clinging on to old sin. And we speak of this as a person that could be backslidden or carnal. And the Bible says, I want to encourage you in Colossians 3, that the Bible says, obviously, there's certain things that we have to get rid of. In John 1, John 2, verse 12, if you want to read, those that have the Bible with us, 1 John 2, verse 12, encourage yourself by reading the Word of God there. So, you've made a profession for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not really in charge of your life. That's that type of cluttered mind. Okay, let's move on. Then there's the cultivated mind. I can so easily turn it on, eh? There's the cultivated mind. The mind that is cultivated. Ground that has been worked through. When I sat on there, and I can actually show you photos of this portion of land. It wasn't big. I think it was 60 square meters. But when we tilled the soil, we brought in some nice manure. I won't say what type of manure, but we mixed it with the soil. And we planted the buffalo. It started growing. Ons het lote geplant. What is lote in English, guys? We just planted cuttings, thank you very much. We cutted it because we wanted to save money. So we cut it, and so we planted it down, and as we planted it, we gave it the humus, we gave it the water, it started shooting out. And it started weaving together, and it looked beautiful. You're amazing, Gershwin. You did it all. This speaks of a heart that is plowed through in the Word of God. Plowed through in the Word of God. Plow through means hard work, isn't it? It's consistently working at it. Our farmers, they know they want to have, next year they want to reap 10, 50, 20, 30 tons, but they've got to put in the work now already. Somebody said because of the drought, they lost 7 years of production because of this current drought. People are here in the, on the Vredendal Road, Vredendal area. Rooibos tea, they said only 3 years from now, they will try and recover because of the current drought. So what I'm saying, you got to prepare now for to obtain the blessing later on. So a heart that is plowed deeply by the word of God and tilled by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. John 16 verse 7 and 11. Now what happens with this soil? It looks beautiful because what does it do? It produces good fruit. Have you got me? Confused, cluttered, cultivated. The only difference between the three types of soil is that the last soil, cultivated soil, produces good fruit. So, good soil equals good fruit. You will note if you go to verse 20 of the same portion of scripture, it says, some seed will produce more fruit than others. And the amount of fruit in your life is also the work of God's grace. And it uses you, he uses you for his glory. For every child of God produces fruit in her life. Now, I've spoken and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now that you find yourself that you could be the first one, you could be the second one, you could be the third one, or you could be the fourth one in this parable. The only difference between the three types of soil is that the soil, the last one that is cultivated, produces fruit. So what is fruit? The Bible says types of fruit are good works, Colossians 2, 1 verse 11 and verse 10. Holiness and righteousness, Romans 6 verse 22 and Philippians 1 verse 11. Genuine spirituality. It's not those people have you been, okay, I can't say it, gebeur nie, mamas bere nie. Some people, they just, they don't do it in Malmesbury, eh? And then when you find out and you walk out, because we are his brother, and you go and see what's happening on the weekend or Monday at work or Tuesday when you meet him in the street, and you check out, what fruit is that now? On Sunday he was, let me pray for you, sister. But when it comes to the workplace, where's the fruit? Whew. It is true. It is so true. And I might also have been guilty about it. But it's so true that you are genuine. And some people don't understand when you're a genuine Christian. I'm not saying I've reached it. But actually, when you reach out and you really mean what you mean, and you try and live out being a Christian by the Holy Spirit, then they check, what is your agenda? Okay, leave it right there. Another type of good fruit, I can't see you guys, the lights are so bright, is the burden for souls. Praise the Lord, we are almost 40% full tonight. Even more. A burden for souls because fruit, good fruit produces fruit. Good soil produces fruit. There must be fruit, a soul. Praise and thanksgiving. When we praise here, we don't, it's not just the boy band we're watching you guys. It is me in my heart. I'm sitting right there. I don't have a tune, but I'm praising the Lord. I have thanksgiving in my heart because I had water to drink. I had water to flush the toilet. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I wonder, why don't we go back to the drop box system? Save a lot of water. Okay, sorry. Another type of fruit is sharing material goods. This is the worst that I am so guilty of. But the Lord is working at me, sharing material goods. If you look at the Gospels, the Christians in those days actually shared a lot. Okay, so good soil produces good fruit. The question is, the Bible ends it off there, a scripture that says, he who has an ear, let him hear in verse 10. He who has an ear, let him hear. And now I'm asking you, have you got any fruit? You say you're a Christian. You might be the first one, confused, carnal. You might be the second one, praise the Lord. We all want to be the last one. But let's be honest, though. We all are not there yet. Okay? So my personal challenge is for myself. When I got across this in the workplace, because I actually got it across the workplace, that I said, Lord, is that a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I a born-again Christian? And this hit me right there. Gershwin, what fruit are you signing out? So, my question to you is, if you have a personal walk, not a question, if you have a personal walk with the Lord Jesus, you say you're a Christian, you will have fruit. And tonight, the Holy Spirit challenges you and me. What type of soil are we? Are we hardened? Have we got some things that's keeping us back? Are we the ones that are so confused? Or are we cultivated? I really want to speak, and I'm speaking out of my heart here, because often in church, often on the streets, we have heard a gospel that is so airy, fairy. It's so lovely to serve the Lord. Yes, you're going to have so much of rands, so much of houses, so much of friends. And yes, you have brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it's not necessary that you will have it all. Please, that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a truth in the Bible. Jesus worked as a carpenter. He worked as a carpenter before he started his ministry. The disciples that he called were fishermen. He called them because they were busy catching fish. Often we want to know and ask, Lord, what is your plan? What is the way? What is the strategy to get this done? But we're not busy with something. So if you want that strategy, making 10 million rand, if you want to make 10 million rand, remember, as a Christian, the Lord blesses you to make 10 million rand to give to others. Remember that. What is that parable of the fruit, brother? The parable of the broodjies and the fishes? Did Jesus keep and multiply that fruit for himself? And that's irrespective of you and your stature in this earth. The principle is that I'm learning that whatever it is, if I give it back to the Lord, he multiplies and he gives me so much more fruit, but to share it with others. Okay? So you and I, do we have any fruit? We're going to take a few minutes now Brother Wilhelm can share and just play. We're going to play and ask everybody to stand as we just stand at this point in time. We're thinking back. And I would like for you to react according to the Holy Spirit's guidance and the word that went out. And when we sing, I think we can sing, we can play the last verse that you played, Majesty. And we'll make opportunity for you to come forward if you want to be sharing with. The sower keeps sowing. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's something wrong with the soil. You and I ourselves find tonight ourselves as the soil. We'll only sing this once. please come and share the podium with us here. If the Holy Spirit has been sharing with you, let's sing. Whilst the brother's playing, I want you to just examine your profession of faith. Where do you find yourself in? Are you convicted of your sins? Because surely God has got a time and plan for you tonight. That on this Heritage Day, He's got something else planned. He wants to bring you back to the true heritage. The Bible says in John 6, verse 44, examine your life today and see whether or not your life is producing spiritual fruit to the glory of God. This parable also speaks and it says warning. The Lord is letting you know that you are responsible for what you hear. Remember that verse 10 that says that those that can hear, you are responsible to react.